We do talk about palliative care a lot, especially around elections, funnily enough. But can you tell us what palliative care is, just so we get a general idea?
Sure. Well, the first thing, I would actually really like to hear palliative care spoken about much more around elections. That's great that you've noticed it, but I think, you know, as a palliative care agenda, it would be great to hear more of our politicians talking about palliative care and investing more in our programs. But just to go back to the second part of your question, so palliative care is really the total care, the physical, psychological, social and spiritual care of patients and their families as they near the end of life. And whereas once palliative care might have been considered to be appropriate for people who are in the final weeks and days of life, what we really want to do is work in partnership with their other clinicians much, much earlier. So one of the questions that GPs are often encouraged to think about is to ask the question when their patient comes to see them, would I be surprised if this patient died in the next 12 months? So we refer to that about the surprise question. And I must say, every time I go back to WA and see my elderly 91-year-old grandmother in a nursing home, I have to ask myself the question, you know, will I be surprised if she dies in the next 12 months? Just gives us a bit of a feeling about, or makes us think about, where we think the person is in terms of the illness trajectory. Because probably one of the great tragedies about palliative care is that often people get referred too late in their illness trajectory. And I think the other concern is that people think palliative care only happens with a specialist service or in a hospice, and that's not true.
You sort of debunk something there. So palliative care is not what happens in the special wing of the hospital or in the special centres. It's really what happens in that last 12 months before the end.
Yeah, I think palliative care has probably become associated with hospices, but taken literally, a hospice means a place of rest for a traveller on an arduous journey. So I like to think of palliative care happening regardless of the bed the person is dying in. So I want Australians to have access to the best quality palliative care in their local hospital, in their own home, in their residential aged care facility, in ICU, in emergency, wherever they find themselves.
You noted there are numerous aspects to palliative care as well, not just what we can think of as the medical aspect. You know, spiritual, I think you said as well. So what does this actually look like? Is it also a doctor, you know, being comforting, or is it more people, more specialists around the doctor?
I think one of the things that I really love about palliative care is that it's actually interdisciplinary. And no one health professional normally has the skill set to be able to care totally for a patient and family who require palliative care. So good palliative care really happens when you configure the right team for each individual patient and their family. So that means that really a palliative care team is interdisciplinary. And when I say interdisciplinary, the palliative care team may consist of the community nurse, the patient's family, the volunteers, or the neighbours assisting, the GP. For someone with relatively uncomplicated end-of-life care needs, that may be all that they will require. Yet they've got actually the perfect team who's actually able to manage their physical, psychological, social and spiritual needs. We may and often need to have more complex teams who are able to respond to patients with greater symptom burden or more psychological distress or more family distress or spiritual distress. And often those teams look a little bit different.
Do those teams exist now in hospitals, in the centres where we need them to exist?
Yes, our specialist palliative care services exist in our major hospitals. But we really need to get health professionals to be thinking differently and think within their network and their community, they've got the capabilities to pull together a palliative care team for that particular patient. Obviously, if they've got the patient has got greater needs, then they will need to involve specialist palliative care services. But we do have directories in Australia that tell us where our specialist palliative care teams are, and they're in most of the regional centres. And sometimes these teams may be virtual teams. So there's no reason that your GP can't pick up the phone and phone the nearest specialist service. That service may be able to visit that patient. That service may be able to video conference, Skype, the GP, offer some over-the-phone advice. So we can create virtual palliative care teams.
What could be done with palliative care going forward? Because I know it's not something that's specifically done as people get older. It's not just an old person's issue. It's everybody's issue. But as the population in Australia gets older, this does seem like something that we need to talk about more. So you've already discussed what the medical profession can do. What can the rest of us do? What can our politicians do? What should we be looking at going forward?
I think the question you're asking me is, I'm just wondering, is it more about society's
yes.
role in palliative care? And this is quite good timing to be having this conversation, because last week there was a really big focus on making death more public. And, Charlie Pickering had one of our nursing colleagues on the program, Molly Carlo, who was really talking about being a death talker, you know, promoting conversation in the community and in families. And I guess all of us have the power to do that, to have those conversations with our families about what their wishes and preferences might be. And that may be a really good starting place. And that really speaks to the issue of advanced care planning. And the Commonwealth Government has currently funded a very, very large program, which is really helping to build the capabilities of GPs and aged care nurses to actually have those conversations, which can often be quite difficult with families. But all you and I have that opportunity every day to actually have that conversation with our partners, our siblings, our parents, and if our grandparents are still with us and have cognition, to have that conversation. But that's a great starting point.
And you said that the government is funding that study. Is there more the government can be doing, like the various governments?
There's always, of course, much more to do. I think one of the really big things is that we really need to work with clinicians to win their hearts and minds and see that palliative care is actually an integral component of their responsibility, regardless of where you're working as a doctor or nurse. I think we do need to potentially increase the number of specialist palliative care clinicians, and particularly nurses, and increase the capabilities of GPs so we've got greater reach of palliative care capabilities in our community. And going forward, we will really need to think about how we better manage the care of the dying. I think there's a huge amount of work for us to do in our acute care hospitals. When you're so actively focused on making everyone better, which is noble and honourable, and that's what we really want, it's sometimes really hard for a space to be created to think about how could we actually do end-of-life care better. And I think if we looked at like health services, that's probably where the majority of complaints are generated from families about the way in which they perceive that end-of-life care was poorly managed. And we will have some really big challenges going forward. We've got them now in terms of, if you actually think about all the technological advances and all the pharmacological advances in terms of drugs, then we really have to think about where they add value to people's life, add quality, as opposed to being overly burdensome.